James chapter 4, and I've entitled tonight's message, The Journey of Life. Where does it lead? The Journey of Life, where does it lead? And we've already read the passage, but let's look at it again, James chapter 4, and let's look at verses 13 down to verse 15. James says, Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. A grandfather had a grandson, a bright boy. He liked him very much. He did well in school and stayed out of trouble, but he was concerned for his grandson because even though the grandson excelled at many other things, he didn't seem to grasp the importance of spiritual things. And so one day he was having a conversation with his grandson, and he wanted to impress upon him how important it is to think about those things of eternity. And so he asked his grandson, he said, I know that you've been working hard, grandson, to get in to a nice college. How are your grades and things doing? He's like, oh, it's going great. My grades are better than they've ever been. He said, well, tell me this, grandson. After high school, what are your plans? What do you plan on doing after that? He said, well, hopefully I'll do well and I'll be able to get into the exact college that I want to get into and I'll be able to, you know, study what I've always wanted to study. He said, that's great, grandson. What then? He said, well, you know, I plan on studying law and hopefully I'll do well in the school and, you know, when I get done, I can graduate with honors and get a high-paying job at some law firm. He said, that's great. What then? He said, well, I mean, I hope at some point maybe I'll meet the woman of my dreams and we'll get married and start a family. That's great, grandson. What then? Well, I guess we'll have kids and I'll plan well and send them to a private school. That's great. What then? Well, I guess I'll send them to college. That's great. What then? Well, I plan on saving up, Granddad. I mean, at some point I'll be ready. I'll retire. That's great. What then? Finally, the grandson, somewhat exasperated, said, well, my goodness, Granddad, I guess at some point I'm going to die. He said, yes. What then? And listen, I think that is the question that James is trying to get us to focus on tonight. After we die, what then? The journey of life, where does it lead? Certainly it's something that you and I tonight need to think about. Now, as we look at what James says, I would submit to you tonight that in the journey of life, you must seek God's will. You must seek God's will. It's foolish to go through life never thinking about that final what then. And so, I encourage you tonight that in your journey of life, as we think, where does your journey lead, I would submit to you that you must seek God's will. Now tonight we're going to kind of use a highway. Life is a journey, a road that we travel down. And so tonight we're going to look at some things as James points out, and we'll put them in the language of a highway. The first thing that I want you to think about tonight, I want you to think about the twists and the turns in a highway. The twists and the turns. You know, as you travel down the road, there are many decisions to be made. If you leave Aruka Baptist Church tonight, you will not go very far before you are faced with a decision. In fact, when you get to the bottom of the hill, you have to decide, am I going to go straight across? Am I going to turn to the left? or am I going to turn to the right? And depending on what direction you go, those roads lead to different places. What you decide at that junction, at that turn, will make a difference as to where you go. And listen, on the journey of life, it's the same way. Our journey is filled with twists and turns, decisions that have to be made. James points this out there in verse 13. He says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Did you see all the different things that take place there in the course of someone's life? Our life indeed is made up of people, places, and decisions that have to be made. There's goals, there's activities, days and years that go by. And as that time passes, you and I must make crucial decisions as to where the road of life will take us. And listen, it matters what you decide. Listen to this. A man named Max Jukes lived in New York. He didn't believe in Christ. He didn't believe in any kind of Christian training. He refused to take his children to church even when they asked him to go. Now, Mr. Jukes has 1,026 descendants. Now, listen to some of these statistics. 300 of those descendants of Mr. Jukes who refused to go to church and wouldn't allow children to go to church, 300 of the 1,026 descendants were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. 190 of those descendants were public prostitutes. 680 were alcoholics. They did some calculations and decided that his family cost the state of New York $420,000 because of all the bad decisions that were there. In other words, his family made no contribution at all to society. Now, what's interesting, Jonathan Edwards, and some of you may recognize the name, lived in the same state as Mr. James Jukes, Max Jukes, excuse me, at the same time of Mr. Jukes. Except Jonathan Edwards loved the Lord. He saw that his children were in church every Sunday. And as he served the Lord, he had 929 descendants. Now listen to the difference here. Of those 929 descendants, 430 were ministers of the gospel. 86 became university professors. 13 became university presidents. 75 authored good books, and 7 of those were elected to the United States Congress, and one of them was the Vice President of the United States of America. You say, well, what made the difference between those two men? What made the difference, my friend, was how they handled the twists and the turns in the road of life. You see, Mr. Jukes decided to go one way, and Mr. Edwards decided to go another way. Mr. Jukes decided to ignore God and not follow the will of God, and Mr. Edwards decided to give his life to God and to follow the leading of God. My friend, it makes a difference as to how you live your life. Tonight, you would be wise to allow God to guide your life, to guide you down the road of life. There are many twists and turns, buying, selling, going, coming. We need to make sure that we allow God to guide us through life. Not only must you acknowledge God because of the twists and the turns in life, but also you need to acknowledge God because on the road of life, there are blind curves ahead of you. There are blind curves. Look at verse 14 of James chapter 4. James says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You know, none of us know what is coming tomorrow. Now, maybe you've heard of people of dangerous sections of road They may say that there's a blind curve on that road. Now, a blind curve occurs when the road snakes in such a way around a mountain or around an area where a person can't see around the curve. Maybe if you've ever been to Maracas Bay, you've experienced what a blind curve is. As that road snakes up through the mountains over across to Maracas Bay, there are many curves that you cannot see around. And every time I drive up there with my family, I just cringe when I see drivers pulling around my van, and I know they can't see what is coming around that curve. And I just pray that the odds are in their favor and that there will not be a car coming around at that time. But I'll tell you, I have been up there on times when I've seen cars that have done that and have ran it head in into each other. And I've seen people there, you know, off to the side of the road, and they're trying to help them. What a tragedy it is when people go into that blind curve in a dangerous way. You know, just as dangerous as that may be physically, the road of life is filled with blind curves. And it is even more dangerous spiritually. James says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. None of us can see into the future. None of us know what is going to take place tomorrow. It's the same thing that is said in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. We are told, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, as James talks here to the church, he is speaking to people who were evidently of means, businessmen who had been saved and were in the church. And it seems as though they valued monetary things and material things more than they should, and that they had no regard for God, and they would simply boast about their plans, saying, yeah, we're going to go into this city and do some trades, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, with no thought of God, no consideration of what God was saying to them or following God's will. You see how James depicts him saying, we will go, we will stay a year, we'll buy, we'll sell, we'll make profit. That's what he says there in verse 13. But James tells them instead they ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do those things. Why? Because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. Now there's a story that comes from Jewish tradition. Listen to this. It says, our rabbis tell us the story which happened in the days of Rabbi Simeon, the son of Shephatha, where he was present at the circumcision of a child and stayed with his father for the entertainment. The father brought out wine for his guest that was 7 years old, saying, with this wine will I continue for a long time to celebrate the birth of my newborn son. They continued supper until midnight. At that time, Rabbi Simeon arose and went out that he might return to the city in which he dwelt. Now, as the story that they would tell these Hebrew boys, as the story goes, on the way he saw the angel of death walking up and down. He said to the angel, who art thou? To which he answered, I am the messenger of God. The rabbi asked, why wanderest thou about thus? He answered, I kill those persons who say, we will do this or that, and think not how soon death may overpower them. That man that you were drinking with, that man who you were entertaining with, who said to his guest that he would drink that wine and continue for a long time to celebrate the birth of his newborn son, the angel said, behold, the end of his life is at hand, for he shall die within 30 days. Now that was a story that the people who originally read the book of James would have been very familiar with. This man who was celebrating, taking no thought for what God may do, who was boasting, I will do this for a long time. Listen, none of us know what tomorrow may bring. You know, the attitude of these businessmen that James was speaking about really echoes something we see in the book of Luke. Do you remember the story about the farmer who had such a good crop that he decided he would tear down his barns and build bigger barns? Do you remember that story? His barns were too small. He needed to build bigger barns and have greater security for the future. And you remember what he said to himself? He said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And of course, in that parable, we are told that that night, his life would be required of him. You know, life is not uncertain to God. God knows exactly what will take place in the next 5 minutes. He knows what will take place in the next day, week, year. He knows it all. That's why it is foolish of us who cannot see around the curve to go along the road of life taking no thought for God, not listening to His Word, and not allowing Him to guide us on the road of life. Listen, my friends, you should acknowledge God and you should allow Him to guide you on this road of life. Because of the twists and turns and because this road is dangerous, there are blind curves. None of us know what tomorrow may bring. And then lastly tonight, the end of the highway. The end of the highway. Now, as I was doing some research for this message, I found out that our island here, the island of Trinidad, has 8,320 kilometers of road. Now, I can tell you, as I was sitting in traffic on the way to church tonight, I felt like that figure was way too small. I feel like we have not enough road and too many cars. Now, in comparison to other countries of the world, Trinidad ranks at number 140 for the amount of roads that they have. Now, this is as of 2000 estimates. 4,252 kilometers of the roadways are paved, and it's got 4,068 kilometers that are unpaved. Now, the truth of the matter is, that's a lot of road on this island. Now, I have not driven all the roads on the island of Trinidad. There are a few of them that I have driven again and again and again. But if you were to take your car out and to drive all the roads on this island, who knows how long it would take you, but the truth of the matter is, at some point, you would run out of pavement, wouldn't you? We could take it a step further. If you were to drive all the roads in the world, at some point, you would run out of pavement. And listen, the road of life, at some point, we all run out of pavement. And that's why James says we ought to consider the Lord. We ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this, we will do that. Listen to how he describes it there in verse 14. The last part says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Whenever I think about a vapor, I think about my mom heating up water on the stove. When we would go off to school, many times we would have oatmeal in the morning. We'd have those instant packets of oatmeal. She would heat up that water on the stove, and we would put the water in with the mix and have our oatmeal. I remember that tea kettle that she would use on the stove. It would heat up, and then it would whistle, and you would see the steam come out of that nozzle. But I got to tell you, folks, that steam did not last very long. That's what James says our life is like. It's a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. You know, this theme is repeated again and again and again in Scripture. Job speaks of it a lot. In Job chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." He says, "The cloud is consumed and vanisheth away." "Now my days are swifter than a post." He says, "They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." And then, of course, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." All of those expressions are meant to impress upon us one thing, and that is this: life is short. You know, we celebrate birthdays. We count the years of our life. But God tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, to number our days. how appropriate that is, as we've already learned tonight, none of us know what tomorrow may bring. The truth of the matter is, at some point, we will run out of pavement. We all face the what then of eternity. Listen to what Billy Graham said. He says, today we are told how to look young, stay trim, keep healthy, have a good image, think positively, make more money, and have more friends. He said, all these indicate that we are trying desperately to cling to this present world. The truth is, life is transitory. What is your life? You're a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He says, if we want to make the most of life, we need to face the fact that it's going to end. He says, my father-in-law, Dr. L. Nelson Bell, wrote many years ago, only those who are prepared to die are really prepared to live. The uncertainty is not the dying, it's the preparation. Now think about that quote. Let me read it again. Let it sink in. Only those who are prepared to die are really prepared to live. The uncertainty is not the dying, it's the preparation. Listen, should the Lord tarry, every one of us will pass through the gate of death. And what will determine where that destination is, where we spend eternity, is what have we done with Jesus Christ? Jesus came, He went to the cross, suffered, bled, and died, and was put into a tomb. 3 days later, He walked out victoriously. The Bible tells us that only those people who have accepted that gift that God sent, the gift of Jesus Christ dying for the sins, only those people will spend eternity in that wonderful place called heaven. Those who don't accept it, because of their sin, they will be condemned to eternal damnation in that horrible place called hell. My friend, it's important that you know where your road of life leads, because every one of us will run out of pavement someday. Tonight I have one last illustration and we'll be done tonight. There was a pastor who was on vacation with his family. They were traveling down the highway when they saw a suitcase fly off the top of a car that was going the opposite direction. They decided to stop and pick up the suitcase, but the driver of the car never stopped. The only clue to the driver's identity was a $20 gold piece inside the suitcase that was inscribed with this inscription, given to Otis Sampson at his retirement by Portland Cement Company. After extensive correspondence, Otis Sampson was located and contacted. He wrote a letter to the family telling them to throw away the suitcase and all of its contents, but to send back the gold piece. Over and over again, as Mr. Sampson wrote the letter to the family, the pastor's family, he said that that gold piece was my most precious possession. So several times, he said, throw away the other stuff, but my most precious possession, please send that gold piece to me. Well, Pastor Rittenhouse sent the gold piece to Mr. Sampson, but he wrote a cover letter telling Mr. Sampson about his most prized possession, Jesus Christ. A year later, the pastor received a Christmas package. In it was that $20 gold piece. And Mr. Sampson wrote to the pastor, you will be happy to know we have become active members of a church. We want you to have this gold piece. I am 74. My wife is 72. You were the first one to tell us about Jesus. Now He is our most prized possession. Now my question to you tonight is, what is your most prized possession? Is it something material? Are you the kind of person that spends your whole time thinking, oh, well, tomorrow I'm going to go do this so I can get this, so I can get this, so I can get this amount of money, so I can go? Is that what your life is consumed with? Or are you led by God? Are you led by the Word of God and what God has for you. I trust tonight that you'll look at your life, that you'll understand that life is complicated. There are twists and turns and decisions to make, and how foolish it is to make those decisions with no thought of God. There are blind curves on the road of life as well. None of us know what will happen tomorrow. That's why tonight, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. You get it settled tonight, right now. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. And then lastly, even if you do have many tomorrows, at some point, you reach the end of the highway. The pavement runs out for all of us. And then we all have to face that final question of what then? My hope and prayer for you tonight is that you'll look at your life and make sure that you know for sure that you're on your way to spend eternity with God in heaven.